919.
919, amend an intergovernmental agreement with Portland State University in an amount not to exceed $50,000 under the fiscal year 2014 Smart Policing Initiative Grant Program to provide research and services to the Police Bureau for the study of the Neighborhood Involvement Locations Program.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Christian Peterson. I'm a crime analyst.
Oh, Christian, I'm sorry. I had a statement I was supposed to read as an intro to you, and I blew it off. I apologize. As a rapidly changing city, it's critical that we invest in our communities with an eye towards modernity and sustainability. With an increasing awareness that law enforcement practices disproportionately affect communities of color and vulnerable populations, the onus is on city government to support a law enforcement model that supports the communities it serves. During my time as mayor, this council has seen a number of police items on the agenda, several that have obviously been controversial. I have to say I'm quite excited by this potential partnership with PSU. This IGA speaks to my priorities as mayor around 21st century policing. We talk a lot about supporting 21st century policing principles without actually talking about what that means to the city of Portland. The core of 21st century policing rests on six key pillars. Number one, building trust and legitimacy, something we hear a lot about in this chamber. Number two, policy and oversight. Number three, technology and social media. And people had just raised some issues around that issue. Number four, community policing and crime reduction. Number five, training and education. And number six, officer wellness and safety. The work behind this IGA uses technology to improve community engagement strategies and enhance PPB service delivery so that officers aren't just being responsive to those who think to report a crime, but also to those who are afraid of reporting a crime. We believe in policing with transparency. We believe in policing with compassion and respect. We believe in policing with accountability. We believe in strengthening the relationship between the Portland Police Bureau members and the people who are served so that interactions with law enforcement begin from a place of trust rather than from a place of fear. To serve and protect means to serve and protect all Portlanders. I applaud the Portland Police Bureau and Chief Outlaw for undertaking this endeavor, and many thanks to our partners at Portland State University for partnering with the city on this important work. Thank you.
Thank you, and again, good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Christian Peterson. I'm a crime analyst for the Portland Police Bureau, and I'm thanking you for the opportunity to briefly discuss the technical amendment and answer any questions you may have. Back in November of 2014, the city approved an ordinance that accepted a $699,000 Smart Policing Initiative grant from the Bureau of Justice Assistance. And in order to fulfill the grant, on May 20th, 2015, the Portland Police Bureau entered into an intergovernmental agreement with Portland State University. Part of the scope of work for the grant, Portland State University and the Portland Police Bureau identified an opportunity to enhance the understanding and integration of community survey data into police interventions. Together, we have continued the grant work by developing a community survey toolkit, which continues to be funded by the Bureau of Justice Assistance. This toolkit will provide instructions and guidance to any organization, though targeted specifically towards police personnel, for developing a community survey that follows scanning, analysis, response, and assessment, the SARA model, a problem-oriented policing strategy. This toolkit fulfills the final deliverable of the scope of work for the grant. The target date for delivering this toolkit to the BJA and to the Police Bureau is the end of September. The technical amendment before you today is for the compensation to Portland State University for the work completed to date on the development of the toolkit and for the completion of their work until the final delivery of the toolkit at the end of September. Fulfilling the scope of work requirements for the grant means that agencies across the nation, not only just here, have an opportunity to understand and develop community problem-oriented surveys that can be used to integrate community feedback into interventions, thus embracing the tenets of 21st century policing. Thank you. Any questions?
Commissioner.
So is this an expected additional amount?
This is not an additional amount. This is monies that had been saved from other parts of it and is just reallocating to expand the product work.
Thank you.
Public testimony.
We have three speakers, Dan Handelman, Mimi Gurman, Charles Bridge Crane Johnson.
Come on up.
Good morning again, Mayor and City Commissioners. I'm still Dan Handelman with Portland Cop Watch. This is an extension of a contract that we testified about in 2014. And then in 2015, the compliance officer and community liaison who's working on the DOJ agreement referred to the NILOC program in the quarterly report about the progress of the implementation of the settlement agreement. And what we wrote about that is that the program anecdotally has caused confusion and fear in Portlanders. What are these cops doing in my neighborhood and talking to young people of color? It may indeed be encouraging bias-based policing activities such as stops and pat-downs. Until there's evidence that NILOCs are not being used for intelligence gathering, consent searches, and disproportionate contacts with young people of color, we're not sure how the COCL can be blanket praising this program, we wrote. So it seems that if you read the agenda item carefully, that the PSU survey discovered the same problem, that they found that people were mistrustful of the police and didn't know what they were doing in their neighborhood. And we told you that without you having to spend $750,000 on it. I don't hear anything about the question of bias being a consideration in this study. And I'm very concerned about the over-policing of our communities, low-income communities and communities of color, that are going to be a result of this, because we had this discussion around another topic recently where those crimes that happen in a public area get more attention than those that happen in private boardrooms and in condos. So I am, while I don't think it's a bad idea to discover ways for the police to listen to the community, which it sounds like part of what this contract's about, Those safeguards have to be put in order for us to have any kind of support for what's going on. And I also should add that we're also still waiting for those unarmed community officers to be put out on patrol, which I think would be perhaps a better way to deal with it than sending armed officers into quote-unquote problem areas. If you have these officers who are not intimidating and not necessarily even the same bulked up uniforms, that might be very helpful. In my last couple of seconds, I just want to say I'm sorry I didn't get to testify about the Human Rights Commission earlier because it was a report and the mayor's still not allowing public contemporaneous testimony on reports. We did send in comments about that, and I hope you all got a chance to read that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I have directed that the community officer program be up and running by January 1st. We ran into some labor negotiation issues. Those are coming to a conclusion, and I, like you, look forward to that program being up and running. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Mimi Gurman. I'd like to bring the name Jason Washington to the table. At PSU recently, armed security killed a man at PSU. I think that it requires BALLS of the cops to come here to ask for more money with an agreement with PSU for anything regarding arms, weaponry, and to pretend that they are listening to community. It's complete BS. And I'm offended. I'm offended for everybody who has to look at these armed security guards and cops near them while they're trying to study to better their lives, knowing that these security guards and cops will kill anyone who is of color in a split second, as we saw in the reports that came out from testimony with people on the ground who watched Jason Washington get murdered. I'm not like Dan, who has all this information, which is so wonderful to bring to you. I'm just a concerned resident and I come here to plead for your humanity. That's it, every time I come up here, to ask you to ask the right questions, questions that aren't asked, never a question, every time regarding police wanting money for weapons, wanting something for technology to put away immigrants, to work with ICE, to work with the FBI, and so on. Like, I actually believe that there are hearts in your bodies that we can tap. So far, I'm on the losing end of that. But more than me, the communities that are more at risk than myself are on the losing end of that. We can't give PSU, the cops, this agreement, anybody asking for more money until they can show us that they know what to do with the weapons they already have, and they know what to do with the word transparency and the word communication and wanting to communicate with community. They don't know how to do any of those things. So we can't gratify their wishes for more of the same that get black people killed and immigrants put away because the city council continues to give them money and the rights to do just that. Thanks.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. For the record, Charles Bridge Crane Johnson. And of course, I want to echo deepest sympathies and peace to the family of Jason Washington, Navy veteran killed on the streets of our city by Portland State University Public Safety. So definitely we need to invest $50,000 and more in doing better. Today seems to be my day to preach about fiduciary duties. We just have this item describing a grant over $600,000. When y'all get $600,000, I want to see the frickin' Gantt chart. You can be dang sure if we got a grant for almost $750,000, somebody somewhere was paid to make a Gantt chart with a timeline about goals, objectives, outcomes. It's not in the presentation. It should be. Admittedly, we're talking right now about less than 10% of that budget. We're just tweaking $50,000. But tonight, I think at Tabor Space, there's going to be a discussion about PSEP. Bring what the people are paying for. It's very hard for even those of us who are very engaged. I'll have to discuss a little bit more with Mr. Handelman afterwards, but it's like $700,000 of federal money that came to us to make policing more sensitive, more responsible, less lethal, especially for communities of color or for the Ellifritz family. There should be a package that describes the scope of this work, what has been put forth, and analyzes the failures. We know that Portland police have had situations that have resulted in deaths and in grenades impacting into the back of people's heads through helmets. So we probably need a lot more than just $700,000 or $669,000 from the feds to get right. But we're not going to really get right until items like this come with a very clear, transparent plan, a binder that shows the timeline, that shows what the deliverables are going to be from the people that are actually cashing the checks and putting that money in their pockets and feeding their families with this fortunate chunk of federal money. So while it's not bad for you to vote yes right now and tweak the $50,000, you should all make a little note saying, oh, what am I getting for my $50,000? How is it going to help keep my friends and neighbors alive? How is it going to reduce racism inside the Portland Police Department? So please take note of that. Think about it. We'll discuss it more in the future.
Very good. Thank you, all three of you.
And one more lightning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, my name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Super Creativity Data Attack Dog. One of the concerns I have on this, and when we're talking smart policing, I really don't think PSU has the intelligence to even do this report. And in fact, in my opinion, it's almost like they have a monopoly on all these type of studies and reports. And let's look at just recently the death over there. They shouldn't even be doing these reports. I don't think they're intelligent. I don't think they have the ability. I think PSU is basically just subpar. And for them to do this report, we need to have some other people brought in to do these reports. Because quite frankly, I'm really tired of hearing the term PSU and getting all these type of reports as though they're the experts. They're incompetent. They're not the experts. And that's the statement from Lightning. Now, issue number two, to the police commissioner, protect and serve all the people in the city, people that pay taxes, people that need the assistance of the police. That's my job as police commissioner, as mayor, to make sure that happens. Even if I'm somebody that works at the ICE office and I'm an employee coming out and I have concerns, are you going to protect me, Mayor Wheeler? Are you going to offer me that service? Or do you have some type of conflict of interest, some bias that might make you say, you know what? I could care less if you get hurt, and I hope you leave my city. Now, that would be interesting, isn't it, Mayor? That would be a very interesting situation. And I wonder if you have any lawsuits directed toward you right now asking for back compensation and the concern over this. Because if you do, I would almost ask you to step down immediately. I would ask you to leave this city. Because when you ever decide selectively to enforce the police department, which is of the city, of the people, not just you, police commissioner. And by the way, I agree with Daryl Turner to analyze whether you should be police commissioner or not. And I think that's what this study should be about, on why the conflict of interest that you think you can be police commissioner and overlook the police department at the same time and make certain decisions as the mayor in voting on these type of grants isn't even considered a conflict of interest, because in my opinion it is. The police commissioner should be completely separated from the mayor, and I hope,
thank you,
Mayor, that you make it right on what you did to the federal employees.
Thank you. And I will speak briefly to
that,
since you raised the question and you used the Trump administration's talking points. Please call the roll.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Udaly.
Well, I want to thank Danny Handelman for coming and giving comments on this item and the one previously. I generally agree with his concerns and appreciate the comments on this. I don't think it's fair to conflate the PSU administration with the academic side of the university that actually does the research. I personally support disarming PSU campus police, but that has no bearing on this item, on which I vote aye.
Fritz.
Thanks to staff who brought this forward and for clarifying that this is moving money that was previously allocated. Thanks to Janine Gates on my staff, who looked into the equity impacts for me. She notes that this is doing what we want our police to do, which is to seek feedback from the community about how they can improve. And in particular, that neighborhoods including Park Rose, King, Humboldt, and the Hawthorne Business Association District were contacted. But particularly, I appreciate that multiple black churches in North and Northeast Portland were visited, and that means reaching out to people where they are and getting feedback from some of the people most impacted by police activity and the communities that they serve. So I appreciate that this process is moving forward. Aye.
Wheeler.
So I appreciate this process as well, and I want to remind everyone, because sometimes the testimony gets a little far afield and into the land of the fanciful. The money from this grant, which is already accounted for, is going to the Hatfield School of Government. It is not going to the police bureau. And the stated purpose of this study is one that I strongly support, which is how do we continue to work together given all of the changes that are taking place in the community, given the changes that are expected around policing, particularly around accountability, and how do we best interact with the community that we serve in order to strengthen the trust between the police bureau and the community that the police bureau serves. I think that is a very noble cause, and I think it is a very important cause because it will help us be better in the delivery of services to the people who not only live here, but the people who pay the bills. So I'm strongly supportive of it. Number two, I just want to state again, and I'm sorry that I have to keep stating this, I have spoken often and publicly about the dual role that the mayor of Portland serves, both as the mayor of the city, the presiding officer of the council, and the police commissioner. It is a very unique role. And there are times when it looks like those roles come into conflict. There are times when it looks like those roles are inconsistent with each other. And I will tell you what I've said many times, including during my last State of the City address. I've not been particularly shy about this. I've not been coy about it. We should look at this. And we should ask ourselves, as our city grows and as our city becomes more complex and as our city becomes more diverse, is the form of government we currently have in this city serving the best interests of our residents? It is absolutely a fair question to ask. Now, with regard to ICE, it galls me when I keep hearing the administration's truncated talking points, misleading talking points, reiterated here and elsewhere around the nation and even around the world. To be clear, I do not support the ICE policy of separating children from their families. I have said it repeatedly. It is unconscionable for an administrative action to lead to the separation of children from their parents. Who here can tell me that that will not have lifelong consequences for those children? That kind of trauma. Excuse me. You spoke. Now I get to respond. Excuse me. Now I get to respond. You had your 3 minutes. Now I get mine. That's the way it works around here. Excuse me. So the question was, did we leave ICE officers calling for help on 911 unaided? The answer is every call that came into 911, as is required by law, got a response. And the chief police has been very clear on that. The police chief has actually released the data on that. I have no reason to believe that there won't be follow-up investigation or litigation, and let the chips fall where they may. But I have no regrets about the way that we handled that situation. I have no regrets about the way the police bureau was directed by the police chief during that time. And if I am asked 5 years or 10 years or 50 years from now how I feel about the policies of ICE, I am not going to change my opinion one iota. It will remain the same. But as police commissioner, I understand everybody in this city is entitled to the protection and the security of the Portland Police Bureau. And part of what this study is trying to do is to help us be better in achieving that important goal. So with that, I vote aye. The ordinance is adopted. Next item, 9.